God,
God,
grant
grant
me
me the
the serenity
serenity
to
to accept
accept the
the
things
things
I
I cannot
cannot change,
change,
the
the
courage
courage
to
to
change
change
the
the
things
things
I
I
can,
can,
and
and
the
the
wisdom
wisdom
to
to
know
know
the
the
difference.
difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody will chat with you. Anybody in their first 30 days? Right, veterans. Nice. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This is the foreword to the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, and besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA Simple Actions. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. And this evening, we are going to be discussing step 11. Please welcome our panel. We've got JoJo and Faye. All right. And JoJo is going to kick it off for us tonight. I'm going to read the first paragraph, which will be on page 85 for everybody following along. And then each of the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings. And then we'll run it through. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. All right, over on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet, we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. JoJo.
Hey guys, my name is JoJo. I'm an alcoholic for sure.
JoJo.
Well, I'm scrambling trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to try so hard to stick to the topic of step 11 on this. I always swear I'm going to like prepare before these speaker meetings, and I've done a bunch of them, but I've never successfully prepared at all. So I'm just going to talk and just see where the spirit takes me. It's also recently been brought to my attention that I don't think before I speak, and people have said that my whole life. Like, you don't think before you speak. Like, I'm like, ha, that's a rude comment. You're a rude person, whatever. And, but then just, I'm 40 years old. Maybe I don't think before I speak. And that's just how it goes. It goes heart, mouth, and then that's it. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking at these two, I always thought if I came to AA, I got 3 years of sobriety. I thought I'd like be able to like drive home a point. or like go in a direction when I talk or something, or sound eloquent or deliver something nice. And it's never happened. And I don't, I've given up on that, but it's a ride, man. So buckle up, buttercup. I underlined worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. Be careful not to drift into these things. That's after the 11-step nightly review. That's been a big story in my sobriety. I don't know about other alcoholics. I remember, I think like 5, 6, 7 months into sobriety, I'd went into a men's meeting and there's a bunch of guys gathered around. And I sat with them and sat down. I was like, you know that like 2 hours at night where you just get home and like things were good, but you just like for 2 hours you just don't want to be there. Like you just, I don't know what it is. Like you're just miserable, you're like hanging on for life, and it's just like everything's terrible and the world turns gray and your brain's like, hey, Jojo, I'm in here. Guess what? Everything sucks. Everything's against you. There's definitely going to be some doom tomorrow. Like, I felt like for 2 hours nightly, I was just gripping, like, get through these 2 hours. Tomorrow will be a better day. I'll start with prayer and meditation. We'll leave the door like a little bulletproof spiritual tiger or something like that. And that's usually how it goes. But those 2 hours at night, those words, worry, remorse, and morbid reflection have plagued me. It's gotten a lot better since. And this nightly review is a, has been a big help. There's this app, Everything AA app. You can fill out these reviews. I put it on my New Year's resolution. I've been better than I've ever been at filling these questions out, and it is a discipline. It does get better. You get more introspective. It gets easier, and you find out more about yourself. And what I've found it to be, these questions are a good litmus test of how spiritually awake I was throughout the day. And so it says, where were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And I always find one of those things. I always do. And what each one of those words mean to me is the times in my day where I was blocked. I was blocked spiritually. I did not have peace. I had no concept of the word serenity. And I get blocked spiritually, and I get stuck in my head. And those stand out to me as what my blockages are. And I start at night and I fill out these questions and I look back and I start with, I start with the most recent. I'm able to pinpoint, my day where I've been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid, always afraid. There's always some fear somewhere there. And also, one of the things I found that this nightly review does is it clears the checkbook. If I don't clear the checkbook on how spun up I got throughout the day, I carry it to the next day. That's absolutely true for me. And this exercise, this discipline of sitting down, taking some time at the end of my day and reviewing how awake I was spiritually and being open and honest. I mean, it's just me in the notebook and God. And the sentence at the end, I asked for forgiveness. God, I'm scared. I fell short today. I fell short. Forgive me. What can I do tomorrow to be better? And usually the answer is, go to bed, sleep tight, try it again tomorrow. I got your back. I trust you. That's all I got on
Thanks.
I'm Faye, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey,
I'm a newer old timer. I didn't get here until my 61st year, and I just hit 65. So I had a long background in religion. And so it gave me a little bit of a leg up on spirituality. I am not a proponent of religion yet. But I do love spirituality, and this step was real helpful for me. When I first got to the step, it felt like, well, I have a conversation with God all day long. I don't need this business. I've already got the 10. I'm saying I'm sorry the minute I do something wrong. This is just going to be navel gazing forever, and I'm tired of examining myself. You know, I mean, you've been raised in in strict evangelical Christianity, you get tired of examining yourself and always finding wanting. So for me, the God of my parents was the God that of judgment. So I pictured sitting down at the end of the night, almost like this. Oh God, I don't want to look at today. I'm going to find it all wrong. When my concept of my higher power morphed a little more, it felt more like, all right, let's take a dispassionate, objective view. so that I got a chance to have an opinion about it. Sometimes when I'm taking a look, I will say, well, I know I did that again. However, okay, and then I hear myself start with a justification. That's always a red flag. I need to make a note of what I'm trying to justify. So I can, this helps me, like the fourth did, in finding patterns, finding things that are starting to pop up. What stuck to what jumped out at me was working at it. And it does, it's like all the other steps for this alcoholic was practice. It was doing it. I always believed that I had such a massive intellect that all I needed to do was read a thing. If I could read it and assimilate it in this brain, I got it. And I behaved accordingly. I ran 40 years like that. This is different because I had to do the things to understand them. And the more I work the steps, the more they reveal to me and about me, and the less I'm able to put words around it to describe it to anybody. So it starts to feel real an impossible task. But the more I do it, the better it works and the better it gets. I too have to watch for morbid judgment because I have a terrible habit of shoulding all over myself. I'm going to should. I should have done this. I should have done that. And those shoulds are just like a diaperless child. There's the other thing that was a pitfall for me with this step, and it made me avoid it, is I've been told several times, and when they evaluate you in your religion, you have a servant's heart. You have a servant's heart. And I do love to help people. I like to help older people, especially. It's just a thing I like to do. Ask my sponsees. I do it ad nauseum. And I found that sometimes putting others absolutely first for this alcoholic was a way to be liked. It was a way to be needed. It was a way of control. And that was a terrible thing to have to face because I thought goody two shoes was just making everybody happy and running this thing great. Which, when I'm doing the prayer and meditation at the end of the day, is when I can find out if I'm trying to run my recovery, because I will do that. I will reach over and grab that wheel and decide, well, we don't have to do this today. We did all right with it. We're going to worry about that tomorrow. No, I'm not thinking about that. And before you know it, I'm driving again and we're this far from the ditch. So this is a good, it's a good to remind me of, I got to stay between the lines. That's all I got on that.
Thank you, Faye.
Thank you both. All right. The next reading is going to be on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Jojo.
We relax and take it easy. That's a good idea or concept. Are you alcoholics good at that? Me
Shut
neither. I don't, yeah. No. I got this tool on this on Awakening is a big deal for me. And I gotta start with the reminder of divorcing my thoughts from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking motives, because that's almost always what I think immediately when I wake up. The dishonesty is like, what can I lie about to get out of work? Like, I'm sick, my car's broke, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I got reminded not to be dishonest, or self-pity, like, oh, you got the worst job in the world, you don't make enough money, blah, 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 blah. Self-seeking, like, what can I wrest out of the world? So it's a good reminder. I got this tool. I got a Google phone. I'm gonna tell a little story kind of, but I set this on Awakening as my tasks, on my daily tasks, and then I can set that to my alarm. So my alarm goes off to on Awakening. Read me my daily tasks. No, I didn't do it. Well, it's on Awakening, and it's how I wake up. I did it earlier to
Like I
troubleshoot.
thought you had to
Yeah,
do it.
it's on there. Yeah, it'll do it if they does it. But anyway, man, I got to do it because I don't wake up, with that frame of mind. I don't wake up and relax and take it easy. And once again, this thing is a discipline. And I'm gonna tell this whole story about it. So I've had this as my alarm clock, this paragraph, for 2.5 years or so, just about. And I wake up every morning to it. And I think around just over a year of sobriety, I kind of a sad story, but I'm telling, I might get emotional. It's fine, but I so I've this thing will go off till I cut it off. And I remember there was one night I had these two dogs. I had crash landed with my dad in sobriety, and it was the last place I had to go. I didn't know my dad well, and I was just an absolute. I'd drank away my health, my family, my career, my business, all those things, and I'd ended up just living with my dad, and just it was a rough spot. And we had two dogs, and I was getting sober, and one of the dogs is named Clancy, and then I had my dog Buddy. He's a German Shepherd. I found him on the highway. I found him on 95 about 14 years ago. He didn't even look like a German Shepherd. I thought he was going to get hit by a car, so I kind of corralled him into the tree line, scooched him into my truck, and he turned into a German Shepherd. He was a pretty beat up dog, and he turned into this beautiful dog. And I'm convinced he just kept me alive through sobriety. He was I didn't feel alone. And he meant a lot to me. He's my little buddy, And anyway, so Clancy jumps in my bed one night, and he don't get neither one of the dogs are affectionate. Clancy jumps in my bed, and I'm like, "What are you doing, Clancy? Get out of my bed!" And he's like nudging me, nudging me. It's like 4 in the morning. I get up, I'm like, what is going on? And my dog, Buddy, was laying in my dad in my room at my dad's house, and there was puke around him. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And once again, I knew something was up because Clancy had got in my bed, and my dog, was puke around, and I'm cleaning it up. And what had happened was my dog had this brain thing. He was an older dog, he was about 14 years old. His hips stopped communicating with his brain. He lost all abilities in his hips. He couldn't move anymore. He wasn't in pain. He was panting, but he was just laying there limp. So I'm getting up. I'm realizing what's happening. I'm cleaning. I'm scrubbing puke on my carpet at my dad's house. And my dog, I think, is dead or dying, and I'm losing it. And my phone is just going, "We divorce our thoughts from self-pity. We ask God to divorce our thoughts from self-pity. God, divorce my thoughts." And I'm cleaning while my phone is telling me to divorce my thoughts from self-pity the entire time. I'm like, "What are you talking about, photo? Like, this is the most self-pity I could ever have in my entire life. Like, this is a moment in sobriety where, like, I'm losing my shit. I'm swinging for the fences. I'm going out. I'm drinking. Like, I can't handle this. I can't do it." And the whole time I'm going through probably the worst day of my life. I mean, there's a lot up for contender of worst day of my life, but this is a really bad day. And I'm just scrubbing this puke, and I'm picking my dog up, and it hit me, and it hit me that this self-pity gets me nothing. And I realized how quickly just self-pity alone could take me out in life. And God did for me what I cannot do for myself. I did not shroud myself in self-pity. I didn't. I picked my dog up. We went to the vet. Like, I did the best for him. We got 2 or 3 more weeks out of it. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I took him to get laid down at the vet. Once again, God took that pain. He took that fear. And man, he passed in my arms, and I felt the spirit. I felt that spirit. Everything was calm. She said, the vet was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna cry. Here we go." The vet was like, I was holding him, and I was praying. I was praying about my dog, and I opened my eyes. She's like, "Your dog passed 45 seconds ago." And I'm like, "I know, I felt it." And like, I woke up, I opened my eyes, I could see every bristle of hair on him, and I knew exactly what the spirit was. in that moment. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim. In early sobriety, I was, I was so terrified. If I didn't do what they told me to do, I would drink. And I lived in that fear, to the tune of, I'd get up and I'd forget to do. I was not going to have anything to do with a being called God whatsoever. And my sponsor said, "Well, you're going to have to get up and at least say, whatever you are, please keep me sober today. And at night, whoever you are, thank you for keeping me sober." And it felt like the stupidest thing on the planet to do, but it worked. It worked. It absolutely worked. And so if I would get up and it might be 9 o'clock and I'm going, "Oh God, I didn't say to whatever keep me sober, where, get me away from the liquor court. Where is it? Where is it?" Just jump in panic. And then somebody said to me one time, "What kind of God do you serve that if you forget to ask him, it doesn't happen?" And I realized that that's the God I'd served all my life. And that's not the God that was becoming real to me at all, at all. So that was a little earth-shattering for me. I started out by, I do my best processing with one of these in my hand. I mean, if I could sit down and write it out, I can dig to the close to the bottom of it. I see myself, I see my motives clearer when I get it down on paper. So when I met in the morning, I would get up. I was still a smoker in early sobriety, and I miss it still. But see, I didn't turn that over to God. I handled that myself, so I still miss it. So I would go out on my front porch and I'd light up my cigarette, my coffee, and my cigarette, and my books and everything, and my chickens are right all out. And I'm doing my morning. And when I finished my reading and I felt like I'd kind of gotten my day started, I'd make a list of, okay, look at my calendar, what's up today? I told them I'd go in and work for 2 hours. I got a sponsee at this time. This is going on, this is going on. Okay, and I've got some free time here, and this is a sketch of how I think this is going to go. I may run the vacuum cleaner, and I would sit there, and I'd start scrolling through my phone, look at my text. Okay, what's happened during the night? Inevitably, something comes across that text that lines out my day. Sometimes something comes across the text that is a conflict with something I've got on that list, and I'm not sure which one of these I'm supposed to run with. And if I will give it a minute and I will pray and turn it over, within 15, 20 minutes, I'll get another text. One of those two conflicts will cancel. And I know exactly which one I'm supposed to do. So I started doing that early on. And then when I put the cigarettes down, everything went upside down. I couldn't go outside anymore. And I couldn't, can't do it inside. And well, where am I going to put my books if I go inside? And the pen doesn't work here. It has to be out there. And it just, everything got discombobulated. And so for a period of time, I didn't do my morning. I did my reading. I did my praying, but I didn't have that handy dandy list. And I had conflicts. I had conflicts. I would tell people, yep, oh yeah, sure, because of course I've got to do everything, right? Because I'm helping everybody. I'm supposed to be thinking of others. So anytime you call me, yeah, of course I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. We'll rearrange it. Sure, I can take that position. Sure, I'll do that. Things started loading up, and I realize I'm not doing as much of my work, or because I'm running from the hard stuff, right? If I'm too busy to sit down and read my steps, or too busy to do my nightly review, where does that put me? And that's where I found myself. So this helps me be deliberate and intentional, and also reminds me that I don't get to run my day. God runs my day, because when I run my day, I'm going to disappoint people. I'm going to hurt people. I'm going to hurt me. And eventually I'll drink. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you both. All right. The next reading is on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Okay.
I'll start with this period of meditation. I big proponent of meditation. I developed a daily meditation habit probably 2.5 years ago. I've heard people say that the meditation piece, the step says prayer and meditation. I believe that it very specifically means do both. They're separate things to me. A lot of people tell me it's a chore. Like I don't want to sit alone in my head with my thoughts for 3 to 5 minutes, and that's And it can be tough. It is tough, but that's the point. If it's tough, then it needs to be done. With my sponsees, I'm a big proponent of starting the day, with the meditation. And it's like going against the grain with a lot of people because it's difficult, but discipline and habit, and it gets better. And there is a point of doing it. So, a lot of times, when they're like, I don't know about the meditation, I'll say, what time do you get up? And they're like 7:30. I'm like, well, set your timer for 7:25. Take some time for God. This is a big piece. I take a lot of meetings into that psych center in Virginia Beach, and every time someone goes back out, I say, well, what took you out? What took you out? And they're like, I stopped calling my sponsor, I stopped coming to meetings, I stopped doing the do. And then I say, did you pray the morning you picked up? And it's always no. It's always no. And I'll keep asking, but I got a feeling it's always going to be no. And so it's a big proponent in my world. And it's necessary for me. It doesn't feel like a chore. I went through a couple different spiritual books. I started with 365 Tao, and I read a Taoist spiritual meditation, just a little excerpt, and then I moved on to Around the World with Emmett Fox, and it's a big one. Really, really awesome, meaty, beefy life stuff to kind of pry open my third eye with a crowbar starting the day out. Help me see a little bit different, And where was I going with that? I'll talk about this one experience I had in meditation. I think it was when I started 11 months sober. I did a step a month, and I started this meditation practice in November of 2023. And I remember it was one specific morning. Once again, I'm sitting in my dad's house in my little room, like a little Buddha, trying to do this or whatever, because I think that's what you do when you meditate, and that's what I was doing. And man, I was just spun up in my head. It felt like a just that static you used to see on those old TVs. It felt like a thunderstorm. And for the first time, I separated from that. I could feel all my head was everywhere, but sitting like a little Buddha inside of my dad's house. It was in tomorrow, it was in yesterday, it was the impending doom, it was what's wrong with me, and all these things. And my brain was absolutely everywhere it could be, except for sitting Indian style right there. And I separated from my brain. I saw it for the first time. And for the first time, I became the observer of my thoughts instead of my thoughts. I had an experience where I realized I'm not my brain. I'm not my brain. Whatever was watching my brain storm like that was my spirit. And I was able to see for the first time, what happens in my head when I get spun up. And I was able to calm those thoughts, and I was able to bring that static down. I was able to calm those things. I've done meditation with a lot of people, and I always ask, for whatever reason, at the end, I'm like, was it quick? Was that fast, or was that slow? And it's usually like, that was slow as shit. Like, that took forever, slow as hell. And I'm like, good, then let's keep doing it. Let's keep doing it. And the idea is to calm that sea. Like, I saw my brain storming like that, like this little island or something with just lightning and just. And I imagine that I'm going to calm the storm, and the clouds are going to go away, and the lightning's going to stop, and the sea is going to smooth. And instead of being the island, I just become the sea. And it works for me. Like I said, I drift into worry, remorse, morbid reflections. And when I the meditation piece was the missing piece to the puzzle of my sobriety. I started doing that, and those thoughts started to dissipate for me. this absolutely necessary piece. It serves a gigantic purpose to calm my thoughts and bring me into the present and calm that storm. This praying for others, I'll be real quick about this. I'll tell a little bit of a story. I thought the program of AA was just helping others when I got here. I was, probably had some wet brain, and this guy gave me this card that said, "Try to help others and don't tell anybody about it." And I thought, I didn't know anything about AA. I'm like, oh, so I'll pray every morning. I didn't know what I was praying to, but I was like, put somebody in my path that I can help today. And I thought that that's what I did to stay sober. And it turns out that is what I do to stay sober, but there was a lot of pieces I was missing. So whatever. And what I did was, man, my first thought was like, when I was drinking, I don't know, are y'all familiar with Portsmouth Walmart? There's a lot of carts everywhere. And so when I was drinking, I work right by the Portsmouth Walmart, and I drove this big old Chevy Silverado beater truck that was on its last limb, and I'd park in Walmart and go get my beer or whatever. And like every day it was like, boom, nail the shopping cart and just send it flying, just pissed that there's shopping carts everywhere. I didn't care because it was a beater truck and it had all these shopping cart dents in it. Every day, boom, screw it, run to the Walmart and buy the beer. And my first thought getting sober was like, I ruined a lot of shopping carts. I need to help out here. And that became my practice. I'd drive to Walmart. If I could, if God does put people in your life, if you ask them for somebody to help, that's for real. But that was my go-to. And when I got spun up or stuck in self, I know I could go to Portsmouth Walmart or anywhere and just get shot. I did it 2 nights ago because I was pissed about something and I'm just in the rain putting up shopping carts. I don't know if it makes me feel better immediately. No, it doesn't. But it's the effect. It's the effect, and it pulls me out of that head. And cigarette butts. I used to smoke and just flick my cigarettes wherever, just not caring, like, I don't know, not trash. Like, I did a lot of dirty stuff in life, but littering is where I draw the line, but I'd flick these cigarettes. I'd flick these cigarettes, and one of my things was picking up cigarette butts, just picking up cigarette butts. I don't know what it is. I think God is in the small actions, you know, and those that little action of just picking up the cigarette butt and putting the shopping cart up. I don't know what it is, but it does it for me. And that's all I got. Oh, pray for people to help. Trust me, it's. He'll put you to the, you'll get called up to do that. Oh, that's all I got.
Thanks. Then again, that was the way I'd prayed all my life was for, hey, God, give me the strength to deal with this jerk over here. You know, I need to be on time. I know I left late, but you're going to have to clear the traffic so I can be on time. And I thought all those were good things. You were supposed to ask God for everything. You just ask God for it and it showed up. That's what I was told. It didn't seem to work for me, which made me think it was a personal thing, right? It must have been, I wasn't living up. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do because I wasn't getting what everything I was asking for. And they say you get everything you want if you ask. And then I come to AA and you're praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And I thought, well, what in the world kind of conversation am I going to have at all? You know, I mean, if this is all I can pray, yeah, I mean, I took it literally. And the whole meditation piece, I was one of those people. You don't want me in my head by myself for 3 minutes. I'm gonna come up with something that's not healthy. And most of it is digging around in the past, right? I cannot be in this present moment. I've got to think about all that I've done wrong and all that I might do wrong tomorrow, or all everybody's done wrong to me. So I went to the Buddhists. And they've got a corner on meditation. I'm telling you. You know, the evangelicals have got the jumping up and down and the telling other people, but the Buddhists have got the meditation. Okay. They know how to be quiet and hear God. And even if they're not looking for God, they know how to be quiet and listen. So I read some Buddhist stuff, and at first it felt like, you know, I had somebody tell me one time, don't go down a rabbit hole, to be careful in AA not to go down a rabbit hole. And I think that's wisdom. But for me, I needed to read and entertain all of those different disciplines because I would find one that felt comfortable to me. And I was complaining to my sponsor, you know, I got the prayer part down, but this meditation is just kicking my behind. And she said, well, I think when you're reading so many things, you are at least clearing your mind long enough to get through a spiritual passage. And that was a good beginning for me. to really go down. I would pick a phrase or something that I wrote down at a meeting before. You guys always, you see me in a meeting, I've got this with me. And I'd pull it out and pull a phrase and evaluate it. How does that fit in my life? Where am I seeing that happen? Where am I not seeing that happen? So that was the meditation I could begin with. And then I played around with a few apps that, would talk you through some meditation. And it definitely needs more work. I'm going to be completely honest. It needs more work. And that's all I got on that.
Thank you both.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Next reading is also going to be on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained by one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Jojo.
Let me tell you about the joy I have found in my life in this paragraph, the absolute joy. There's this Calvin and Hobbes, it's a comic quote. It's Hobbes says to Calvin, he says, experiences are always better shared. And I told you meditation is a big deal for me, and quiet the mind, open the heart. It's where my heart and my head need to be. And man, I've recently been able to have someone join me in this morning meditation. And there's nothing like it. I mean, the whole point of this sobriety thing, like, I don't know, I could probably just not drink on steps 1, 2, and 3, maybe for, I don't know, I could probably just not drink. But the point of AA, the point of me doing this, the point of me sticking to these disciplines is to be happy, joyous, and free and enjoy and live my life in sobriety. This paragraph right here, man, having somebody join me in meditation is getting emotional again. Shit. It's amazing. It's amazing to just be on the same spiritual journey as someone and to be quiet and in someone's company and bring God into the room and have God in the room. I've never, had many experiences with others with God in the room, just one-on-one. It's and just to have that be the focus and to trust that and have that set the parameters of the day for two people or more is amazing. I don't know. This is a bold statement. It might be better than sex. I don't know. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. I don't know. It might be. It's close. It's close. It's good. It's intimate. It's strong. It's powerful. And it's good. And man, find somebody, I don't know, to sit and talk with somebody you care about God and to get quiet and just exist happily. Do that. Man, what a joy. All right. Thanks.
Thanks.
Quick to see where religious people are right was a real hurdle for me because I got on my high horse, and if you were involved in religion, you were the great unwashed. I mean, that was just, it made no sense to me after when I first came into the program why anybody would bother with religion because this was everything I could possibly need. And then somebody introduced me to a Catholic guy, Richard Rohr. And if you've not listened to any Richard Rohr, Rohr, I'm going to put in a plug right now. He is the first thing that he published that I read was Breathing Underwater. And it is about the 12 steps. And it is from this guy's perspective. And it is good and deep. And it's eye-opening. And I listen to all our YouTube speakers to get their advice, to hear how they applied these things to their lives, and listening in the rooms. I have not had the opportunity to invite someone to meditate with me. Right now, it still feels like a very private thing. And my husband's the last one I want in the room when I'm meditating.
I get that.
And
I get that. Yeah, that's fair.
there'll be a whole lot of meditating going on. So, but I can see how that That to me would replace a piece of corporate worship, where you're with someone else and having an opportunity to share in the presence of the God as you experience him. I can imagine that would be just amazing. There's a website in Toledo. I'd have to look it up on my phone to give it to you, but they have a list of 12-step prayers, and they just got a prayer for every step. It's a little different than what's in the big book. And for a long time, those were, some of my morning things. I did those in the morning as well, and would carry them with me in the car, because when I was an active alcoholism, if I was in the car, I had a drink in my hand. And now, in active alcoholism, there are some days when I'm in the car and I've got my fist in my hand because I don't like the way you people are driving. They're on my nerves. So driving is a place for me. And I've not been able to add any of my secular music back yet. It still takes me back to places I don't need to be spending time. So I listen to a lot of speakers, and I listen to Joe and Charlie was huge for me in the beginning. I felt like they brought the big book alive before I even read it. So they made me look forward to it. So I highly recommend Joe and Charlie. But making use of religious people. Like I said, the Buddhist, I love reading about the Tao. And I honestly believe right now, in recovery, things change weekly, but I honestly believe they've all got a piece of the truth, and they've got a different way of stating the truth. And it's just delightful to hear somebody say the same thing in a different way. It's like coming to a meeting when you've been struggling with something, and somebody says something, and it's like they just take that puzzle piece that you couldn't get to fit and turn it just a hair this way, and it fits right in my head. So I really enjoy that. That's all I got on that. Thank you.
Thank you both. All right. Our final reading is also on page 87. What do you know? As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And then kicking it over to page 88. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12. Dodo.
Yeah, this undisciplined part stood out to me. You know, it I can't express the discipline part of the morning review, the night review, and the meditation. That's a hard word to say and actually be like have conviction about, because I've never had discipline. It was absolutely right. And just the reward of making it these things daily habits is so huge, and it gets easier and it gets better. I certainly never wanted to do any of it. Like, I'm not poster child, Mr. AA boy, Boy Scout. Like, I'm getting up here bragging about some, talking about how selfish I am every night to myself. I'm not, I mean, I reap the rewards of it, and it took time. I can't say I ever wanted to do it, but the reward of the effort keeps me doing it, and it keeps me sober. I'm a low bottom drunk. I mean, I'm just a maniac for sure. I'm for drugs and booze. As much as I was a hound for booze, I got to be a hound for spirituality. It works like that. It's like a pendulum for me. And I'll share one little story about This we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. Every now and again, doing these steps, they all seem to align like spokes on a wheel, and you just start rolling freely and carelessly and trusting God, and you're almost just moved. I don't know, that's been my experience. Every now and again, it's like that. You just feel warm, and things are going exactly as they should. And, it's a comfortable feeling. I had this experience last week, a week and like 3 days ago. I'll try to be quick about this. I moved my mom in to my condo. She's a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I had sent her to a rehab in Georgia for a year. I guess she stayed sober there. Suspect about that, but she had nowhere to go after that, and I moved her into my condo. And I said, "Mom, you're gonna live here, but we're gonna stay sober. I'm sober now, and things are going all right. And I want you to stay sober with me." And she said, "Okay, this is a great opportunity. I appreciate you moving me in." And all was well. And then 2 weeks after I moved her in, I caught her, came home early, and she was Ubering beer home. And I'd done up steps up until that point that I wasn't angry or mad. I saw her with loving eyes because I knew for sure, but for the grace of God, there go I. And I've done enough work in this program to understand the nature of this disease. So once again, I sought to help. Well, anyway, over the past 4 or 5 months or so, I've had to get the city involved because she's drunk to the point that she just can't take care of herself or do daily activities, and I work all the time. I'm not able to provide adequate care for her. So I went through the city of Portsmouth and got it's taken about 4 months, and I'm getting some care there. I got a social worker, and I went home from work, and I was sitting, and I don't know about y'all, mothers are hard, right? I'm an alcoholic, she's an alcoholic, and it's hard. Like, I have a lot of trauma there. And it's just hard. Everything I do is like going against the grain, but I do it anyway, and it's just hard. And I'm sitting there. I got this table. I got my AA readings in my living room. I got the windows open. Somehow it was a nice day in January. I had the front door and the back door open to the condo in the middle of January, and the wind's blowing. And I'm sitting there with my mom. She looks like shit. And a social worker. And I'm sitting there, and it's just kind of painful because we're going over brutal details of her day to day and what she needs to be taken care of. And I got these wind chimes on my front porch, and they're little German shepherds kissing butterflies, cute. But they were chiming. They were chiming. The wind was blowing, and in every instance in my life, I could not have sat there with my mother and a social worker and discussed what we were discussing and not been frustrated, angry, stuck in myself, self-pity, all of these things. That's my nature. That's my nature. And man, I paused. I sat, and all I could hear, sitting with my mom and a social worker at this table, was these wind chimes, and it brought calm, and it reminded me of my powerlessness. I don't control the melody. It's the wind. And no matter how hard I try, I could never change that melody or play it my own way. And I realized, the nature of God playing this melody through these chimes and my powerlessness over it. And then I sat there and I heard God play this melody through the social worker, through her words to my mom. And then I heard God play his melody through my mother and respond. And I knew all was well. And tied into that surrender and that powerlessness brought me that calm. Do the right things for the right reasons, get the right outcome every time. And I trust that all is well. I wouldn't have it any other way with this lady. But yeah, every now and again, that pause, that spirit, it bring you to your knees, boy. Make you cry. It'll make you know all is well all the time. That's all I got. Thanks.
When I'm running the show, I'm squirreling. I can't keep a linear thought. So when I let God run the show, my life is a lot more efficient. I'm not wasting time. I'm not pinging from here to there. And I have to remind myself frequently through the day that I'm no longer running the show. Surrendering to God's discipline straightens the rest of me out. And when I don't, it's like an old Bible story of the manna that fell on the ground, and the Israelites were only allowed to take what they needed for that day. And I find that's the same for AA. I can't stay sober on last week's meetings or yesterday's reading or yesterday's 10th step. I have to delve into this to work. And I want to mention a couple of things that are coming back to me from some of the speakers that I've listened to encourage you to do that. We're encouraged to seek God. And to me, 11 is where we really get down and dirty about seeking Him, finding it. And it's not, I had to learn that it's not about defining God for me. I can't define it. And it's better if I don't. But it's just experiencing it. There are different ways of seeking. I'm going to seek differently if I'm looking for one of my extra spatulas, or if I'm looking for one of my hats. If I'm looking for my cell phone, I'm seeking, man. I'm seeking, right? You lose your cell phone, you're going to seek. I think that's the most effective way to seek a higher power, is seek it with that kind of fervor. And one of the original old timers used to say that there was only one problem that encompassed all problems, and that was conscious separation from God, and only one solution to all problems, which was conscious contact. And step 11 gives me that. Thank you.
All right, let's stay a wonderful channel. Thank you both so much. That was wonderful. All right, we are going to pass the seven tradition baskets. The seven tradition states that every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements?
James Alcoholic.
James.
James. Fifth Time Group. I've got two pretty little brochures here. We're going to go with the first one, the blue one. No, lime green one. This, we're going to have a workshop on Zoom. If you don't like the code, you can sit home and it might be snowing that day. Who knows? It's going to be Tuesday, February 17th at 7 o'clock. We're going to have a speaker, question and answer. It's Spiritual Principles for Lifetime. The speaker is Chris S. from Blairstown, New Jersey. So I know he'll probably have snow where he's at. He's going to share on a workshop. So get on Zoom on the Tuesday the 17th. Now, before that, I like to call this. This is, we go through the big book. We went through step 11 tonight. We're going to have step 12 a few weeks in a row. It's part one and part two. This is our Super Bowl after going through the big book. This is what we do after we go through the big book. We're going to have dinner and speaker Monday, February 9th, which happens to be the day after Super Bowl.
To bring Super Bowl leftovers.
It's going to start at 6 o'clock. Potluck. Bring a dish. The more dishes, the more mixture of foods you'll have. You may have pizza back here. You may have, I know so many people in this group, they like foreign stuff, and I'm just. Speaker is going to start at 7, and it's going to be Connie B from Richmond. She's going to come down and share her story. Man, we've got plenty of both of these pretty little things over on that table. Go get some. take them back to your home group and share them with people and get all them to come. And we'll really have a Super Bowl in this room and really have a Super Bowl on scene. Thanks a lot for sharing.
Thank
Thanks.
you. Are there any other AA-related announcements?
How could there be?
My name is Faye, and I'm still an alcoholic. February the 19th is the Oceanfront Conference downtown. There were still rooms as of Thursday, so and they're discounted rooms. So it's a good time. I've been every year.
Nice. All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Awesome. Literature is available to my right, your left. There are pamphlets that are free. The books have a little bit of a cost. If you can't afford one, we will make it happen. Please see me or another home group member if you need any literature. And those beautiful wintry blue and radioactive yellow flyers, please take some of those back to your groups. Just plug in that again. Where was I? Oh, sponsorship. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available right here after we close up the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. You can always send an email right here, hammering this one again, simpleactions.net. If you're shy, always send an email there. Right. Just a quick reminder, smokers, please use the butt cam provided and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. All up until about 3 months ago. We're about 3 months behind on that one. The meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Cafe Stella, just up Colonial Avenue on your left-hand side. In closing, let's thank our wonderful panel. What that is. Oh, David's got a vision for you.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic named David. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right, we have a nice way of closing, and please feel free to come thank the speakers after.
It is a nice. So,
quick moment of silence, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Amen. Amen.
If you come back.